Well, if you'll take your Bibles tonight, and let's turn to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. And if you want to take and turn to the book of Daniel, chapter number 9, that would be good too. We're going to be over there in just a little bit. Psalm 106 and the book of Daniel. Now, we're only going to get a little bit far in this thing. Not going to actually get into my real message, probably. If I do, it's just going to be one point, the very first point. But no need to fear. There are 4 points in my introduction. Amen. So you'll feel like it's a regular sermon when I get you out of here. And even though it's really we're just going to take a look at some things here to begin with, an introductory of Psalm 106. Now, many, including myself, think that this psalm was quite possibly penned by the prophet Daniel while he was in Babylon during the captivity. And verse 47 suggests that it was written during that time frame. Look at verse 47, Psalm 106. "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name and to give triumph in thy praise." Talking about gathering them from among the heathen, bringing them out of the heathen where they are there in captivity. And we'll give some other indication of why we believe that Daniel possibly wrote this psalm also. It does not give us in the psalm who wrote it, but we can tell by comparing scripture with scripture that wasn't Daniel, probably one of the Hebrew children anyway. Psalm 106, let's begin reading verse number 1, and we're going to just read the first 7 verses. We'll be doing good if we can get that far. Psalm 106, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord." Amen. That's a good way to start out, isn't it? Well, it starts out with "Praise ye the Lord," and it ends with "Praise ye the Lord." Last phrase. First phrase, last phrase of this psalm is "Praise ye the Lord." He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, and that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea." And we'll leave off there. But this psalm is a confessional prayer. And we know from the book of Daniel that Daniel was a man who knew how to pray the kind of prayer that we see in this psalm. Some believe that perhaps Daniel wrote this about the same time that he poured out his heart before God as recorded in Daniel 9. Now, if that was the case, then Daniel would have been about 87 years old at the time. See, when he went to Babylon, he was about 17. 70 years later, a lot of years passed under the bridge. Amen. About 87 years old at the time, and I want you to keep that in mind because it's important later. Note how the writer begins and ends here by praising the Lord. The first one is a call to worship, and the last one's a benediction. And both reflect on a God who is worthy of praise. Amen. God is worthy of praise, and may we not forget that. And as he opens a psalm, he points to several praiseworthy things. Number one, He points to the Lord's person. The Lord's person. He is good. That's what he says. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." Now, The first word, Lord, here is translated from the Hebrew word Jah, which means, speaks of His compassion. It speaks of Jehovah as the one who has become our salvation. In fact, the first time this word is used in the Bible is in Exodus 15 and verse number 2, where God is seen as the one who had just saved Israel from the Egyptian army at the Red Sea. And that's significant when you understand when he gets down to verse number 7, he starts talking about that time period in Israel's life. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remember not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. I don't think it's a coincidence that he uses that word to begin with. The second word, Lord, is what we know as Jehovah, Yahweh, Jehovah. His name that underlines his commitment. It is the name that is associated with God's covenants with those that he has created and those he has called. And we know the Lord had several covenants with the nation of Israel, right, in the nation of Judah. And there are several covenants, and he is the covenant-keeping God. And that's worthy of praise because they knew that the Lord was good for his word. What he said he would do, he would do. And I want you to understand tonight the promises we have in Scripture, what the Lord has said he will do, because he is Jehovah. He is the covenant-keeping God. Now, the word good there is associated with God and is an adjective that denotes good in every sense of that word. And we know that God is good in that sense, isn't he? In every sense, God is good. So we see the Lord's person. He is good. Second thing we see here is the Lord's pity. The Lord's pity. His mercy endureth forever. Second part of verse 1 there. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, in the Psalms, the word translated mercy means his loving kindness or his grace. And I want you to think about this thought. Israel's sins, though they were many, could not exhaust the loving kindness of God. Think about that. And let me add, neither can our sins. You can't exhaust the loving kindness of God, His grace and mercy. You can't exhaust it. Though sometimes we might have a tendency to forget Him, He does not forget us who are His. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That promise, when we understand it comes from God, well, God's not going to forget his promise. He's going to adhere to his promise. He's not going to forsake us. I found the expression, for the Lord is good, to be associated with the Lord's mercy in at least 7 passages of Scripture. There's 7 passages. Number of perfection. I found it in one of my personal favorites, Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, you can find also in the very next Psalm, Psalm 107, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. It's in Psalm 118, verse 1. It's in Psalm 136, verse 1. It's in 1 Chronicles 16, and verse 34. You'll also find expression in Ezra 3, in verse number 11, and in Jeremiah 33. And verse number 11. And if you didn't get all those written down, I'd be glad to give them to you at the service. Amen. But we see that the Lord's pity, His mercy endureth forever. And aren't you glad for that? Amen. We are under His mercy and grace, and that will never end. A blessing. Third thing we see here. We see the Lord's power. It speaks of His mighty acts there in verse number 2. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? In other words, what the Lord does. Think about it, just this act of creation. I mean, you ever just wonder and get your heart and mind full of wonders about what the Lord has created? I'm telling you what, when you think of His creation, and it says in Colossians 1:16-17, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Everything's just holding together now by God. He created it all, and God holds it all together. So we see the Lord's person. He is good. We see the Lord's pity. His mercy endureth forever. We see the Lord's power, speaking of His mighty acts. And then, where we're going to focus at, the Lord's people. The godly are blessed. Verse 3. He says, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Now think about this. We know that the Lord's righteousness that He procured for us through the Lord Jesus Christ by His death, burial, and resurrection is all the true righteousness that we have. So it's His righteousness. You know, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. It's speaking of believers. Speaking of those that are saved right there. Which, by the way, makes us blessed in Him. We're blessed of Him as we live in His righteousness that He provides. Now, verse 4 is where the actual prayer for pardon begins. What we just saw there was the opening of that He's about to talk about. It is the just the beginning. Now, in verse 4, he begins to pray, and his first thing is to ask the Lord to remember him. He says, remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Now, here he asks the Lord to remember him with the favor that the Lord bears to his people and to visit him with salvation. Well, wait a minute. What is that all about? What's that speaking about anyway? Well, this is another indication that Daniel could be the author that penned this. When Daniel wrote this confessional prayer when he wrote the confessional prayer that we find in Daniel chapter number 9, before his prayer began, he found something important that caused him to pray. Let's turn to Daniel 9 and find out what that important thing that he found that caused him to pray. Daniel chapter number 9, and we're going to take a look at verse 1 and 2 here. Daniel 9 and verse 1 and 2. It says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, and in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years. What books is he talking about? Well, he's going to tell us. He's talking about the Bible. He's talking about the Word of God. He says, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Okay? He finds that in the book of Jeremiah, and he immediately here, he says in verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So Daniel found where the prophet Jeremiah had written that the Lord determined 70 years of captivity on his people. In fact, the Lord had told the people by the prophet Jeremiah to settle in because he determined 70 years captivity upon them. Now I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter number 29. Jeremiah chapter number 29, and let's see this very thing. Jeremiah 29, and pick up in verse number 4. Jeremiah 29:4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. See, the Lord caused them to be carried away into captivity. He says in verse 5, build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. And take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. Where? In the land of Babylon. He says, verse 7, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. In other words, don't look to try to undermine the government while you're there. Otherwise, you're not going to have peace. You know, you're going to have peace as the city has peace, because you're going to be there 70 years. And if they have trouble, you're going to have trouble. That's what he's saying here. We're looking at verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. And the Lord gives a specific reason. He does this for a specific reason. You see later in the book of Jeremiah that there are some diviners. There are some false prophets to come along and say, oh, Jeremiah don't know what he's talking about. You know, don't listen to Jeremiah. He don't know what he's talking about. But Jeremiah did know what he was talking about, because he was God's. Look at verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, here's the word of the Lord here, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place, talking about Judah, Jerusalem. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Okay, so what's first got to be accomplished? 70 years, right? What else has to be done? Seek the Lord. You got to pray. That's what he says. And he says in verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I have caused you to be carried away captive. So, we see here that at the end of the 70 years of captivity, the Lord would punish Babylon and return his people to the land of Judah. And the significance of that is that the 70 years of captivity was about to be accomplished, which means that the Lord promised to return his people to the land of Judah with just one condition. He would do it when they sought him and prayed to him. And we find Daniel doing that in Daniel chapter number 9. We find it recorded also here in Psalm 106. This asking for God's mercy and deliverance and praying these confessional prayers. Hence, Daniel's confessional prayer in Daniel 9, verses 3 and following, were offered. But remember, Daniel was about 87 years of age. And think about this. He wanted to live long enough to be among those who returned to Judah. That's what he's talking about here in verse number 4 of Psalm 106. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Not talking about soul salvation. Talking about salvation from the captivity. Bring them now to captivity. And so this psalmist wants to live long enough to see God step back into the arena of human affairs and fulfill his own prophecies delivered by Jeremiah the prophet. When he found Jeremiah the prophet and what Jeremiah the prophet said, when he came to understand those 70 years, you can feel the excitement in Daniel, and immediately begins to pray because he knew that had to be accomplished. Now, so here in verse number 6, let's go back to our text here. Look at verse number 5 first. Verse number 5, I think it's what we see in verse 5. He says, that I may see the good of thy chosen. The good of thy chosen. That I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. That I may glory with thine inheritance. What did it have? What was going to cause the good, the rejoicing, and the glory? Returning to the land. Being free from the bondage. And going back to the land. And then notice verse number 6. He begins with a similar confession to that which we see in Daniel 9, verse 3 through 19. He changes suddenly from the first person singular to the first person plural. What am I talking about here? He begins talking about himself, identifying with the nation of Judah and its sins, and he's going to confess those sins. He says, we have sinned with our fathers. Verse 6 there. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Now, I want you to notice he uses three different words for sin here. The word sinned there, when he says we have sinned, that's that word that is translated sin there means to miss the mark, to stumble, to fall, to come morally short. It suggests our propensity to sin by practice. The word translated, there's one word that's translated committed iniquity. It means to be bent, crooked, or perverse, and it suggests the propensity to sin by our nature. We're sinners. And then the word translated done wickedly expresses the idea of lawlessness, that restlessness activity of fallen man which reveals itself in restlessness. It suggests our propensity to sin by choice. So the nation of Judah needed to confess all three. They were sinners by their practice, they were sinners by their nature, they were sinners by choice. And he links the sins of the nation in captivity with their fathers when he says, we have sinned with our fathers. And I want you to get this. He identified himself with the unsoundness of the nation of Judah of which he was part of it. You know, the unsoundness of our own nation comes from choices that have been made in the past in our nation. He was saying that Judah was where it was in his day as a nation because of what the nation had done in the past. And we're part of the nation, aren't we? He said, well, I didn't have responsibility doing those things. Yeah, but we were in it. What did we do to try to get it turned around? In fact, the next part of his prayer in the verse here, he points out where God's people messed up, which hindered them in the wilderness and continued to hinder them throughout their history, leading up to their being carried away in captivity. It began all the way back when they left Egypt. They began wrong ways, wrong responses to God, and those just kept following them. They kept committing the same stuff over and over again, in spite of the fact that God said, hey, you do those things, and this is what's going to happen to you. And he told them they will get carried away into captivity. They continued that way. Did they listen? No. They just did what they were going to do. So, verse number 7. Notice what it says. He says, our fathers understood not. Understood not thy wonders in Egypt. And that's the part I want to take a look at tonight. They understood not God's wonders. Think of all that God had done for Israel to bring her out of Egyptian bondage. Just think about it. I mean, we recently was in the book of Exodus doing a message on Moses, you know, and how God used him, how God called him. And there was the wonder of God's preparation. And Moses was part of that preparation. God is the one who had Moses trained to be his ambassador in the court of Pharaoh. I mean, all that stuff that happened with Moses, of Pharaoh's daughter drawing him out of the water and carrying him to the palace and, you know, treating him as her son and calling his own mom to come nurse him and raise him up in the first years of his life. You think that was by accident? No. God was in on all that. That was preparation by God. God then sent Moses to the backside of the desert to learn how to shepherd. Yeah, he spent the first 40 years in Egypt. Next 40 years he spent on the backside of the desert. And then he spent the next 40 years bringing God's people to the promised land. Think about it. God sent Moses back to Egypt armed with a rod. No. Wasn't a rod, was it? That rod couldn't do anything without God. When it became the rod of God, when he surrendered it to God and became the rod of God, that's when God was able to use it. Moses was armed with the very power of God at his disposal. God is the one who knew what it would take for Pharaoh to drive the Israelites out of Egypt. Did God know? Oh yeah, God knew. And so there was the wonder of God's preparation. And they didn't understand. They didn't understand God's wonders. There was the wonder of God's deliverance. God used Moses to bring forth 10 plagues against Pharaoh and the Egyptians that ultimately led to their deliverance. Yeah. You remember the 10? Blood, frogs, lice, flies. Ooh. Yeah. A couple of them just make your skin crawl just thinking about them, right? Livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness. Death of the firstborn. And we may question, well, why did God bring 10 plagues when he knew that the last one worked? Scholars who have studied this have pointed out that the 10 plagues were directed at 10 Egyptian gods that Egypt served. I haven't studied that out, you know, but I want you to consider just this. God can do whatever he wants to do. We're not anybody to question God why he did what he did. God can do whatever he wishes to do for whatever reason that he wishes to do it. And that's all we need to know. Amen? That's it. Then third thing here. There was the wonder of God's provision. The wonder of God's provision. God allowed them to spoil the Egyptians and come out with great substance. Not only that, when they were going through the wilderness, their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out. How'd that happen? God? Huh? Anybody else have to buy a pair of shoes about every year or two? Yeah, I got to buy a pair of shoes about every year or two. Mine wear out. Theirs didn't wear out. Your clothes get all ratty and you have to replace them. I've had some recent that Tell my wife, I said, holy underwear, Batman. You know, and in the garbage to go. But we know that God provided for them. God allowed them to spoil the Egyptians and come out with great substance. He provided for them before they ever hit the road. And then he provided for them as they were on the road. And what did God get for the wonders of his preparation, his deliverance, and his provision? Nothing but an ungrateful grumbling and complaining. Remember? I mean, when they first came out, they weren't nothing but a generation of grumblers and complainers. And that kind of stuck with them. It stuck with them. And I want you to listen to me here. I'm wrap this up. Listen to me carefully. We're guilty many times of some of the same things Israel was guilty of. We fail to understand the mighty wonders of God that He has done for us. What about the wonder of God's preparation in bringing you to Christ? Did you choose to be born in America? I was blessed. I'm blessed to be born here. I was blessed to be raised in church. You may not have been, but I was blessed. I'm talking about God's preparation. Think about God's preparation when He sent His only begotten Son into the world. You know, I mean, His preparation started before this world ever took place. You know, it was already determined beforehand that Christ was going to come into the world and be the provision for salvation. So that's the wonder of God's preparation. What about the wonder of God's deliverance? Never ceases to amaze me that God saved me. God saved me. You ever look at your life and you know who you are? And you said, God saved me. Amen. Glory to His name, right? His deliverance. You think about His working in your heart and life and bringing you to that point of salvation to deliver you by His salvation. What about the wonders of God's provision? Think about what God's given us in Christ. Holy Spirit, we've got the Word, complete Word of God. We have the complete Word of God. That's God's provision. We have the Holy Spirit of God living within. That's God's provision. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. That's God's provision. Amen? And we could just go on and on. I mean, I'm just touching the surface on the preparation, deliverance, and provision in our life. I'm just giving you something to think about. You ought to think about those three things when you get home. God's preparation of bringing you to where you are today. God's deliverance in your life, how He brought you to salvation, and God's provision, the things He has given you since you have trusted Him. So what is the remedy for our errors? Well, the same here is what we see. We're going to look at these verses again. I want to read these verses real quick, and I'll point out five things and we're done, okay? Five quick things. Verse 44. Nevertheless, He regarded their affliction when He heard their cry. Number one, cry out to the Lord in confession and repentance. Amen. Verse 45. And He remembered for them His covenant and repented according to the multitude of His mercies. Rest in the promises of God. He's the covenant-keeping God. Amen. Number three is found in verse 46. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. And you know, that's God's mercies. That's the mercies of God that calls that. Rest in the mercies of God. Verse 47. Says, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto Thy holy name and to triumph in Thy praise. Return to the Lord. You know? How were they going to return to the Lord? But they needed to repent of the sin, and that's part of the reason for this confessional prayer. And then The last thing is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. We can never praise God enough. Amen. Now, we just scratched the surface here. We got the whole psalm left to do. You know, we only covered 7 verses. And we got a couple more things that we want to take a look at here. But where God's people messed up was not in not understanding God's wonders. Are you messing up in not understanding God's wonders in your life? If so, maybe we need to find a place on the altar in our heart, or maybe down front, whatever how the Lord leads you to do that. But let's do that tonight. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight for this psalm. And Lord, we know that our nation is in a world of hurt. Lord, things are changing so rapidly and going downhill so fast. And Lord, help us to not be full of griping and grumbling and complaining, but Lord, to be full of wonder about your preparation for us and your deliverance of us and your provision for us. And Lord, help us to have a proper outlook to you, not looking at our problems, but looking at our God. Help us to keep our focus in the right place. And Lord, we know we've got other things to look at here, but Lord, with this that we've looked at tonight, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.